Chapter 48. It's not really known to most of us who the first inhabitants of Hawaii were, before animals, that is, but historians believe that the primary initial visitors were from the Polynesian islands around 400 Common Era. Like so many humans, the sense of wanderlust, possibly coupled with group rivalry, drove them to explore the vast aquatic realms of the Pacific. Anthropologists have identified that even 1,600 years ago, the human footprint was a massive one, resulting in the extinction of many species endemic to the island chain, primarily because of the introduction of invasive plant and animal species. However, it wasn't until European colonists visited that the true levels of devastation started, mainly because of the lowly mosquito. The insect spread diseases like malaria to much of the bird population, permanently altering one of the world's best examples of evolution. The trend continued, and to this day, human activity continues to devastate local populations of different birds and other wildlife. Recently, a discovery of rare earth metals was made off the coast of Hawaii, making it an important ocean floor mining center, with parcels of underground properties being portioned off like pieces of pie. Lithium was the target, and Sat Ryfield made his presence known via the purchase and control of most of the properties through a closed bid system with the American government, hungry for fuel for the batteries that would power electrovoltaic or EV cars. It was an opportunity of a lifetime to completely control a substantial portion of the fast-growing EV sector and monopolize the inputs for the batteries. Part of the process of ascertaining the economic value of these properties is the collection of what are called assays, or long, tube-like drilling cores, and samples of what lies beneath the ocean floor. To this point, the activity undertaken to collect these assays had been relatively harmless, at least by human standards. Sat Ryfield and a small team of geologists were visiting the island chain in order to get a better understanding of how the process was moving along. "I can appreciate the effort you're going to," Sat stated to his lead geologist, Antonio Gira, "but I'd like to see how you're collecting these samples and what your process is." "Sure," said Gira, giving him a perplexed look. "We have an underwater rig set up about 50 miles off the coast, and it's visited twice a day by our four-person submarine." "Can we arrange a visit today? I'm on a tight schedule, and I'd like more concrete evidence of how you're processing these samples. We have a lot riding on this project, and I'm here to make sure I can personally swear to the safety and reduced impact of the operation," he said, trying to pretend he actually cared about what might get wiped out by his endless quest for wealth. "There's a sub leaving in 2 hours," Gira offered, quick to comply with Ryfield's request. He had heard about Ryfield's notorious arrogance and obsession with getting things done his way, and he wasn't prepared to get in the way. "We can do a quick briefing on how everything works and have you down at the base within an hour." "Excellent. Let's get this done. If we plan things properly, I can be on my jet by nightfall," Ryfield stated. After a short briefing on how the submarine operated and how to respond to emergency situations, Ryfield found himself with three other geologists crammed into a tiny submarine that seemed no bigger than a modest SUV. Not much is known about the events that followed, but there was evidence caught on the wireless that sounded something like this. Ryfield: "I can't breathe." Gira: "Please calm down, sir. We'll have full circulation as soon as we hit the 100-foot level." Ryfield: "I have to get out. My lungs feel like they're collapsing." Gira: "Please, sir, please calm down. Just try to breathe in slowly and take twice as long to exhale. Pace yourself. It's all part of the process of adjusting to the cabin pressure." Ryfield: "It's not working. I need out. I have to get to the surface. My lungs are on fire. It feels like my skin is peeling off. This is fucking unbearable." Gira: "Someone hold him down." There were sounds of struggling and an awful gut-wrenching scream, followed by a very brief sound of rushing water until there was complete silence. It seemed to those who heard the recording like Ryfield had completely lost his mind and had grabbed at the escape hatch shortly after the group left the shore. The submarine wasn't even in very deep water when the incident happened. It didn't take long for Ryfield's body to wash up on shore, but when it did, the emergency crew at the scene didn't know what to make of what they were seeing. A pile of ragged bones that was once Sat Ryfield was covered with a writhing mass of snails. Later, toxicology reports indicated that neither the water nor the implosion of the submarine had killed him or the other crew members. They had all succumbed to the poison in the snails' salivary secretions. It didn't take long for the social media channels, especially Smatter, to light up with conspiracy theories and countless whodunit posts.